Good morning. It is so good to see you. Okay, so how many of you this week went to McDonald's and got French fries? Went to Freddy's to get a burger? None of you? Okay, well, neither did I. If you weren't here last week, you'll miss out on that joke. So, all right. Well, we were in our series on church membership. We started last week about church membership, but we're going to continue on this morning with membership. Came across this quote, actually this morning, from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a famous preacher over in London, and he said this about church: "Nothing in the world is dearer to God's heart than his church. Therefore, being his, let us also belong to it. But our prayers, our gifts, and our labors, we may support and strengthen it. If those who are Christ's refrain, even for a generation, from numbering themselves with his people, there would be no visible church, no ordinances maintained, and I fear very little preaching of the gospel." A statement made from a pastor and preacher many, many years ago about the importance of being membered or partnered with a local church. Now, membership series, I want to, again, kind of define what I'm talking about when I mean membership. Now, a church is not a club. Maybe you're part of a club of some kind. Maybe you're a member of Sam's Club. You got a Sam's card and you feel special about that. But the church is not a club where you come and you have a social gathering, you pay a due or a fee, and it's much, much more than that. Membership, you can same word you could use is partnership. To partner with, to member with, to join, to say, this is my church, this is my people, these are the people I am choosing to celebrate, to worship with every week, to struggle with, to rejoice with, to cry with, to praise with, to suffer with. This is my people. This is my family. This is my church. In modern, I guess you should use the word modern, but in this idea of a very seeker-sensitive church, and almost to the effect that where now it's being offered is almost like drive-by service, drive-by church service. Come for an hour and hear good music and hear a good motivational speaking or motivational talk, then leave and never have any interaction throughout the week, Monday through Saturday, your Christian life, your church membership, your partnership with the body of believers is absent. It's a very dangerous thing. And I want you to clearly understand the church is the people. The church is the born-again, regenerated people of Christ. But if all you participate with us is this 1:11 to noon, 11 to 12, 15 time, you're missing a lot of what it means to be part of a church. There's much more to be a member or partner of High Plains than this service right here. There's much, much more to it than this. But our culture and our consumeristic mentality has taught us or is teaching us that church is only an hour service. But it's much, much more than that. So as we get into our series, and we're now in the middle of it, I want to kind of take a moment this morning to define or answer the question, what is church? What is a church? What is a church and why it's important? Because I believe that a clear understanding of what the church is will help us understand the importance and the necessity and the value of being a member of that local church. So if you have a bulletin in the back of that are some notes that we'll go through together. Before we jump into those, a few dangers of not teaching or not valuing church membership or partnership. A few dangers. One, Christians don't see the importance of baptism and the Lord's Supper. There are two ordinances that Christ gave the church, baptism and Lord's Supper. If all you are is a consumer Christian, all you are is a is just an outsider of the church, just an average attender, there's a danger of losing the importance of what baptism is and what Lord's Supper, communion, is. Christians don't integrate their Monday through Saturday lives with each other. Christians assume they can make a habit of being absent from church gatherings. It's important that you be here. I've spent a lot of time in the last 3 years of hopefully clarifying the fact that you being at church does not make you a Christian or does not earn some special grace from God. So I've given you an excuse to not be at church, but let's not take that liberty as an excuse not to be at church. There's a balance there. We'll look at that a little bit this morning in more detail. Christians, a danger. Christians don't realize that they are partly responsible for both the spiritual welfare and physical livelihood of other members of the church. So we're all responsible for each other. It's not just the pastor's job, the shepherd's job to do all of the shepherding. You're also responsible for each other in the local church. Caring for, struggling with each other. So there are some dangers. So let's look at three things this morning about the local church, what we can learn from it. One, the universal and local church. You have a Bible, turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, first book of the New Testament, chapter 16. Usually we spend time going through a specific passage. We've been going through the Gospel of John this week, this month. We're going through more of a topical series, so we're going to be kind of all over the place in the Scripture. Matthew 16, look at verse 13. Verse 13, let's get the context of what's going on in verse 13. Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" The answer is, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said to them, verse 15, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So, quickly, Christ asked the disciples, who do people say that he is? And they, in Peter's confession is one of the main points in this text. Peter's confession to Christ that you are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. Verse 18. And Jesus says in verse 18, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." The church is not built upon Peter. It's built upon the rock, the foundation that God, or Jesus, is God in the flesh. It's built upon the confession that Peter makes about who Christ is. Now, Peter does play his part. Peter is a father of the church in some way, a spiritual father. He is used mightily through the New Testament. But Peter is just a sinful man and not divine. And the church isn't built upon Peter, it's upon Christ. Look what Jesus says, though, verse 18. "On this rock I will build my church." There's a promise here. There's a guarantee in this verse. I will build my church. Who is the I? Jesus. Jesus says, "I will build my church." What's he referring to? He's referring to the universal global church. The gospel will never be fully removed from the world until God is ready to remove it. Christ will build his church, the universal church. What is the universal church? All believers throughout church history, both alive today and those who are already in heaven, make up the universal church. So all the born-again, regenerated believers in this room, in this city, in this state, in the country, around the world, in different countries, in different time zones, we're all members of a universal global church. So we have that, and Christ says he will build his church. The New Testament instructs those who are part of the universal church in every generation, scattered throughout the world, to meet together regularly in local assemblies. So, in your Bible, turn to Hebrews 10. If you're in Matthew, turn to the right, book of Hebrews. Towards the end of the New Testament. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Verse 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. So, not neglecting to meet together. So, like last week, we mentioned this a little bit, the universal church. So, when the author of Hebrews writes, not neglecting to meet together, is he referring to a universal church or to a local church? It must be a local church, because how can the universal church meet together? That'd be really one large building, one large area. That would be a large, large Baptist potluck if that happened, right? Okay? So he's not referring to a universal church, because those who have gone to heaven can't be with us. Referred to a local church. So the New Testament is strictly encourages and challenges us as a local church to meet together, to gather together, to assemble together. For what purposes? Why do we gather? Why do we come together on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock? Why are we here? To equip believers by feeding them, teaching the Word of God. Acts 2, verse 24, and 1 Timothy 4, 13. So we meet together to equip, to teach the Word of God. Second, leading in corporate worship and praise. Singing corporately. Singing is a part of church. Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 20. Hebrews 13, 15 through 21 commands us to sing and to sing spiritual songs, to worship. Protecting them under the shepherding of oversight of godly leaders. Acts 20, verse 28, Hebrews 13, 7, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. Providing them opportunities to serve one another. Look back at Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So we gather together to worship Christ through the preaching of his word, of singing, of corporate worship, of encouraging each other, to stir up each other to love and good works. Understand, the local gathering of a local church is not meant for you to socially network. It's not meant for you to further your personal business. You track that? I always find it really kind of, well, horrible when come election time, you have these politicians making appearances in local churches. Let's be honest, why are they there? They're there to get a vote, not to worship Christ with you. Understand, we must protect these things. We must hold these things valuable to us. We must protect the reason why we gather. If we don't, we can easily get distracted from the other things that can distract us. So the local, in the universal local church. Second thing to look at. The church and the kingdom. The church and the kingdom. So, the nation of Israel was looking forward to and is still in some ways expecting a Messiah to come. When Christ comes in the flesh and and claims to be the Messiah. They reject him because he's not the Messiah they thought they would get. They were expecting a Messiah to come and with a sword and with military power, with an earthly kingdom to remove Rome, to remove occupation, to establish Israel, the Jerusalem, as the center of the world, to establish an earthly kingdom. And there are still today, this day, some who are looking for a Messiah to do that very thing. But Christ came to provide a different kingdom. Now, he will have his earthly kingdom one day. That is still going to happen. That's still a promise. He will one day have his earthly kingdom, but Christ came the first time to provide a spiritual kingdom. And the Jews of Christ's day in the scriptures, they missed it. And they were meant to miss it. God designed it and predestined it for them to miss it. Turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. We're going to be all over the place in the scriptures. So I hope your thumbs are ready. Fingers. Matthew 21, verse 43. Jesus gives a parable and he tells in verse 43, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits." So when Christ comes, God in the Old Testament had established Israel as being the focal point, as being the people group that God was going to display himself through the world. When Christ comes, Christ now establishes a new covenant, a new thing, and he is leaving Israel as his focal point or as his voice to the world. Now, there are still some Old Testament promises that are still accountable and still hold Israel that's still going to happen. So God has not removed Israel from his mind or from his plan. They are still a major player, and they're still his people. But he has moved on to a new people, a new thing, a new covenant. And what is this kingdom? It's the gospel. The spiritual kingdom on earth is the gospel message. The gospel message of Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, death on the cross, substitutionary atonement on the cross for our sins, is the kingdom on earth, and it goes to all mankind everywhere. And what is the institution that Christ has set aside to be the voice? The church. The church. The church is the institution in which the gospel goes out to the world. The church submits to Jesus Christ as her head, Master and Lord, Ephesians 1, verse 22, Colossians 1, verse 18. Her law, the church's law, is her standard, is God's standard. Or his law is her standard, Galatians 6, verse 2. His word is her creed, Colossians 3, verse 16. His glory is her greatest ambition. His glory is her greatest ambition. Our greatest purpose as a local church is to glorify Christ. That's it. That's not Kids for Truth. That's not Sunday school. That's not our worship. That's not even our budget or our gospel presentation. It's to glorify Christ. And when we glorify Christ, those other things happen. You track that? You understand that? If we start at the top of glorifying Christ, everything else falls into place. We do missions, we do worship, we do give, we do go out, we do study the Word of God, we do all these things because we, at the top, glorify Christ. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We should do a sword drill this morning. How many of you guys grew up doing sword drill when you were a kid? I see a few hands there. I see that hand. If you're not familiar with sword drill was, when I was a child in Awana and kids ministry, a sword drill is put your Bible over your head. You have it closed, you can't open it. That's cheating. And we call out a passage and you have to find it. The first one finds it wins. So, fun little game. Maybe we'll do it one day. I lost my place by giving that illustration. 1 Peter chapter 2, Verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Why? Why are we a chosen race? Why are we a royal priesthood? Why are we a holy nation? Why are we a people of his own possession? Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is why we have, why we gather as a local church, is to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us to glorify Christ in the kingdom of the gospel. The church is the institution on which God delivers the gospel to the world. Last, the church is an embassy. The church is an embassy. The church itself is not the kingdom. The church is not the kingdom. It's an outpost or an embassy of that kingdom. So what is an embassy? Maybe you're familiar with this, maybe you're not. An embassy is an institution that represents one nation inside of another nation. It declares its home nation's interest to the host nation. It protects the citizens of the home nation in the host nation. Are you confused? Some of our internationals would understand this very more clearly than us local Hayes people. How many of you have ever been out of the country? And I'm going to be honest, Mexico and Canada don't really count. How many of you have flown over some water to get to a different country? Okay. How many of you have ever been to a U.S. embassy on foreign soil? Anyone? Okay, Lowry's, of course. Yeah, I'm sure you guys probably live there sometimes. When you go to a U.S. embassy, if you go to a different, let's use Bangkok, Thailand, for example. That's where the Lowry's are missionaries to. You go to Bangkok, Thailand, and you go to the U.S. embassy, and you present your passport. So when the Lowry's go, they present their passports at the embassy. Now, the embassy, when they get there, the embassy does not make them citizens of the U.S. The embassy only affirms their citizenship of the U.S. Track that? So going to a U.S. embassy in a different country does not make you a citizen of America. It only affirms your citizenship of America. The church is the same way. The church, coming to the church, being a part of the gathering of the local body of believers, does not make you a citizen of heaven. It only affirms it. It only agrees with it through a series of investigations and questions and conversations. Yes, we agree that you are a born-again believer. We agree with your confession of Christ. Philippians, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. If you're in 1 Peter, turn to the left. It's a few books, small book, you might miss it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul writes this, verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. Talking to believers. So as a born-again believer, your citizenship, your spiritual home is in heaven. So even though you live in America and you are an American citizen, you do not belong to America. Again, we bash the politicians for a moment. Let's go a little further with this. Even with American holidays or American celebrations, understand you are a born-again believer, citizen of heaven, before you are an American. I want you to understand that. We love our country, and we're glad and we're happy that God has given us freedom to do church and to have the freedom we have in this country. That is God's grace upon our lives. But that's not because of our Constitution. That's because God has allowed it to happen. So when it comes to the 4th of July and it comes to national celebrations. We honor our veterans, we honor our country, and we thank God for his provision and his grace in our lives. But understand, my allegiance is to the cross first before it ever is to America. So when we gather as a local church, let's understand why we are here. And the beauty of that is when you go overseas to a different country and you go and you spend time with other believers who are part of the universal church that you can gather with locally, you gather as a Christian, not as an American. Even this morning, I want you to catch this. In all my years of ministry as a youth pastor in Texas, this is the most diverse ethnic church I've ever been a part of. And who would have thought in the middle of Hayes, Kansas, that would have happened? Right? So whatever country you are from, whatever country is your home country, whatever embassy you report to, we're all believers in Christ and we're all part of the same country. So we can gather together with different languages, different backgrounds, different foods, different cultures, and we can glorify Christ together. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So as we live in our host nation, as we as citizens of heaven live in our host nation, we come to the embassy, we come to the church, and we gather as citizens of a different country, of a different kingdom. And we await the moment, we await the time to when God calls us all home and God gathers together his universal church and we can all go back to home, back home to where we belong and gather together as well. A church member, therefore, is someone who is formally recognized as a Christian and a part of the universal body of Christ. The church, like an embassy, is responsible to affirm who belongs to the kingdom, who does not. There is a responsibility we have a local church to affirm who is a confessing believer and who is not. So I want to challenge you this morning, as I'm going to challenge you next week and the week after, to formally join us, formally partner with this local church as we glorify Christ, as we preach the gospel to a lost and dying world, as we encourage each other to stir up each other to love and good works, and as we await the future homecoming to our forever home and our true kingdom. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for Christ and the cross for our sins, that we can all gather this morning together. Every nation, every tongue will confess that you are God. Father, we love you and we thank you. Forgive us where we fail you. Forgive us the moments that we get distracted from earthly things and earthly fears. And forgive us for those moments. I pray you bless High Plains Baptist Church as a gathering of local believers. I pray you bless our witness. Allow us to be salt and light to those that we're around, to influence them, to have gospel conversations, to support missionaries that go throughout the world to preach the gospel. As we trust you and rest in you to do the work we cannot do, we thank you and glorify you in all things. Christ, and we pray. Amen. Amen. Next week.